Sandow.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Back to the Attitude Era. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network as it is Old School Raw Night. We are, as always, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin. Joining me, as always, is the cowboy chick, Lindsay Ward.
Oh, we're going there.
Going old school.
We're going that old school.
Might as well.
Wow.
Might as well on old school night, huh?
Might as well. I mean, geez, it's been a long time since I've been called that.
I know, and that's why I brought it back for old school night. And before we even go on the air with Raw, Florida State just took the lead. They've been down all game, and they took the lead. So hi,
good
everybody.
For them.
Hi, everybody. You're gonna get some sports updates and Raw coverage because that's what we do when the two of us are live.
Pretty much, because I'm getting the recap or I'm getting the replay of Raw because my time zone is stupid, and he's got football.
I have football. I have the footballs I just put on about 20 minutes ago. So. Anyway, there's a lot to get into with Monday Night Raw. We had legends, we had surprises, and we had a big one to end Monday Night Raw that nobody saw coming.
We should have seen it coming, given who was on the show, but I don't think anybody thought about it.
No, because everyone thought one thing later on this month, the swerve. That's what they do. We should mention that Jerry Lawler was not on this edition of Monday Night Raw. He felt ill after eating some seafood early in the day. And he got checked out at the hospital. He was a little bit under the weather and did not put him on the air. Though he was dressed to the nines in old school gear.
Yes, he was.
It was very flashy. But we had JBL and Michael Cole handling the duties as the Nature Boy Ric Flair opened up Monday Night Raw because they have legends, Hall of Famers, and the Nature Boy well, Nation didn't really get to say much until the Legend Killer himself, Randy Orton, came down to the ring. Randy Orton says, you know, he can't thank Ric Flair enough for mentoring him, but that being said, tonight isn't only about Legends, Hall of Famers, and Flair, but it's about Randy Orton. Orton said he is sure Flair agrees that he is the greatest of his generation or any other. Orton said this is his showtime and, well, told Ric Flair basically to get out of his, stand back and get out of his ring. He then sort of addressed what happened with the Authority and them naming John Cena and giving him his match at the Royal Rumble.
I have nothing left to prove to you, John Cena, or anybody else, which is why I want to ask the Authority to reverse their decision and not give John Cena his rematch, because I have beaten John Cena and I have proven that I am the man.
Whoa! I'm not sure you're the man. You see, in my youth, when you were the world champion, you went out 7 days a week as a world champion. You performed against the best every night. That's what I did for three decades. Right? That's why I've got two of those, brother. That's how good I was and how hard I worked. Now, you beat John Cena at TLC, congratulations. But from what I've been hearing and watching, all you're doing, Randy, is crying about this rematch. Go out there and wrestle the man again. That's what I'm suggesting.
You're the most overrated superstar in history. Now, wait a minute. Now, you're good. In fact, you're great. You were great, Rick. But times have changed. That was a long time ago. 25 years, in fact, give or take. That's quarter of a century. Rick, you're standing in my ring, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And if you don't, I won't be responsible to what happens next.
I'm not leaving. And you're going to listen to what I got to say to you, whether you like it or not. Learn to love it. A decade ago, Hunter and I handpicked you because you were the most gifted, physically talented, young talent to come along in years. You had it all. Good looks, man. The women loved you. I loved hanging around you. But you also brought an immature, I don't know what else to say, an immature punk attitude that you've never grown out of. Okay? You may have both of these, and you may call yourself the man, and these make you the man in our business, but I'm wondering, when you go home at night and close that door, if you're really a man.
You want me to be a man, Rick? How about I do you one better and I go old school on your ass right now?
You got a problem that we got a rematch at the Royal Rumble event. Fine. What do you do? Did you go to the Authority, the people who actually made the match? No. Do you settle it with me? No. You take it out on this man? You take it out on this man? Bro, you don't even belong anywhere close to this man's resume. This is Ric Flair. But I heard you say you're thinking about going old school, and I'm not really sure what that means, but if it means you want to fight, I guess I'm thinking about going old school too. So I'll put it like this. You feeling froggy? Jump, because I say let's dance, Randall.
So John Cena wanted to fight, and Randy Orton, well, he wanted none of it.
Of course he didn't.
The one thing that stood out from this opening segment is, well, Randy Orton calling Ric Flair the most overrated wrestler in wrestling.
That was interesting.
It was.
And I won't share my opinion on it, but on my opinion of Ric Flair, but it's kind of interesting that he used that language. So we'll have to see if there's more with Rick, because obviously Rick is now back in the company again, which, you know, he's back in their good graces after SummerSlam.
continue.
My only thing was it me, or did anybody else pick up on the fact that, like, Rick's speech got worse throughout that segment?
Well, a little bit. Now,
I couldn't tell if he was drunk or if it, like, he had dentures in and they had slipped.
I think it's his teeth. He went to rehab, so it was the teeth. So basically what you're telling me, what you're inferring a little bit about that line, you're trying to keep it, well, a mystery? Could that have been the start of something?
I doubt they're going to bring Evolution back together.
No, I'm not saying bring them together. But an animal standing up for a nature boy. Woo!
He could, but I doubt it. Batista and Orton probably have enough issues they can go back to without Evolution even coming into play. Besides, if anybody's going to stand up for Ric Flair, it's going to be Hunter.
Who was nowhere to be seen tonight.
Neither was Stephanie, which was interesting. It's old school Raw, and we got no McMahons on this show tonight.
Interesting. So yeah, that's how we started off Monday Night Raw, and that was the end of Cena and Orton. Kind of surprising.
Yeah, that was it. That was all we saw of them all night, which was interesting. Just like they came out there, they did their little bit, they hyped their match, and then they left.
Yeah, they did, because, well, we move on, because, well... As Auburn takes the lead, we have the Wyatts, all four of them, come down slowly to the ring.
Yes, this includes Daniel, Brian-Wyatt-I don't know what the hell they're calling him, but yeah, this, and I liked how they did the entrance. I was so pissed because my feed, the awesomeness of this could not be contained on my feed because my feed actually died right when the Wyatts were coming out.
It wasn't just you.
It wasn't just me?
No, I saw a lot of it on Twitter. So it wasn't you.
Must have been, because I watched it on a sling box, so it must have been Comcast, or it must have been Dish.
Must have been.
Because, yeah, I was watching it, and then the feed was like,
gone.
Bam. Gone, and I actually yelled at it. I'm like, no!
She waited 7 days.
I have waited 7 days. I have seen the pictures from the house shows. I have followed this constantly for 7 days. The moment is here. What are they going to do with Daniel Bryan? We already know what he kind of looks like, but what is he going to act like? Because pictures don't, you know, necessarily show body language and action and that kind of thing. And I missed it the first time. Luckily, I got to see it before the show. And all I can say is they cut the fringe off the jumpsuit. Thank you, Jesus.
Looks like they got him an actual new jumpsuit.
I really actually think that is one of what he was wearing on the weekend was probably one of Rowan's old ones that they modified really quickly. Because it didn't fit him right.
No, this one clearly fit him correctly. So, we had the four of them walk slowly to the ring, as it was the Wyatts, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and Daniel Bryan, with Bray Wyatt in the corner, taking on Rey Mysterio and the Usos. And you could tell throughout this match, things weren't all that kosher between the boys and Daniel Bryan. Mainly Harper and Bryan.
Yeah, Harper does not like Daniel Bryan. He doesn't like sharing Bray's attention. You can tell Harper is not happy about the new acquisition, because it's like, if you saw the look Harper gave them as they were walking to the ring after the lights came back up, it was like, it was like ice. Like, literally, he was shooting daggers at Daniel Bryan. And that just was the way it was the whole match. Harper is not happy about this. It's very, very plain. And, well, things only got worse as the match went on.
It seems like he wants Bryan to fall in line, and Bryan's sort of not falling completely in line, as it were, just quite yet. And we'll get more into that here in a bit. The match itself, it was fine. You saw awkward tags, especially at the end. Rowan went for a tag, tagged in Bryan. Bryan tags himself in. And then Harper, showing where he stands in the group, put himself into the match as he tugged himself in. Went after one of the Usos. And, well, things didn't go as planned, as the Wyatts, come up on the short end of the stick against the Usos and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and there was tension in the Wyatts. Bray Wyatt was, immediately went to Harper. Not to Bryan, to Harper, and he was talking to Harper the whole time. And because Harper was just standing there looking at the Usos going, damn it, we lost again.
Mm-hmm. And it was very clear Bryan was trying to wrestle a different, more aggressive style.
And I liked it. I liked the aggressive style that he was working. It matched Rowan and Harper. He fits, as far as in the ring is concerned, he fits that way.
But he's missing one thing they don't have.
Height.
Height, yeah. Height.
Yeah, it's really kind of blatantly apparent, because it's like, Bray is the smallest, and Bray is not a small man. He's 6'3", and he's 285. So, he's not blessed with the height that Rowan is, but he's still blessed with size.
Right.
Bryan's size becomes very, very, very apparent when he's standing with all three of them. Because all of them are above 250, all of them are above 6 foot, and then there's Daniel Bryan, and it's just like, he looks like a midget. He really does. In comparison to all three of them, he looks like a midget. He makes them look ginormous.
Yeah. If you tuned out of the Auburn game early, if you're a sports fan, it was 21-3 at halftime. This is a back and forth game as it comes to the end with 56 seconds to go. I'll keep you updated. Yeah, it was an interesting start for the Wyatts, and there's more to come a little bit later in the show with the Wyatts.
Yes.
Because somebody was worried that they wouldn't be there later in the program.
I wasn't worried, but it's like, that's it?
She wanted more.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to get a lot more on SmackDown with the Wyatts, but yeah, it's like they did this great job because it was the focus of last week's SmackDown. They've been talking about it all week, what is going on with Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts, and so it's kind of like you're really excited because you're wondering what they're going to do, and this is kind of, this is kind of it.
So we had breaking news on the show. Batista will be returning in 2 weeks, and he is the first man to be an official entrant into the Royal Rumble.
So, there you go.
So Batista is staking his claim. We then had Brad Maddox address the whole situation with what happened last week between the Great Khali and Damian Sandow. And he revealed that, well, we would have a appoint for a special referee, whether it's Bob Backlund, the Enforcer, AAR and Anderson, or Sergeant Slaughter. After that, Kane walked in to ask Brad if, well, he would like to say anything to his face that he said behind his back last week. Brad asked Kane what's he going to do about it. Kane said he knows threatening violence against Brad would be grounds for termination because, well, it's on page, what, 23, section something or other of the WWE Human Resources book.
Of course Kane would have that memorized. Of course he would.
Kane, ladies and gentlemen, Kane is reciting stuff from the Human Resources handbook now. Just pointing that out.
I'm not surprised.
Basically, Kane sees Brad in a no-win situation. Kane said if he does put his hands on Brad, he would be fired. But on his way out, he would make sure Brad is never heard or seen from again. Or if Brad gets a fire, he gets to go back in the ring and be a monster. And he would definitely make sure that Brad is never heard or seen from again. Kane told Brad to keep that in mind next time he talks to Triple H or Stephanie about his job performance. And Brad, well, was scared a little bit.
Can I just say that, you know, Kane handled that like a boss?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
I like that. I like the fact that you have corporate Kane. He can still be intimidating. He can still be everything he was before. He's just not as psycho as he was before, which is kind of awesome.
And then we got some, well, legends.
We did. We got...
And there's the Intercontinental Champion.
Nikolai Volkov for people.
Yes.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man!
And don't forget to pay your taxes.
As Big E Langston was walking backstage to the ring.
So there's your IRS moment right there. Unfortunately, it did not happen with Bray Wyatt. I was kind of half hoping that they would bring Bo Dallas in to maybe do something with it, because Bo was on tour with them this weekend.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I wonder if Bo was there and he just didn't get used. But yeah, so it's like, there's Bray Wyatt. Or there's IRS, and it's like, no Bray Wyatt interaction, no Bo Dallas interaction. So it's like, well, darn. Guess there's next year. Not that anybody really believed it was going to happen.
No.
Ooh, whoa, flag.
Somebody turn on the game.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you said, there's 59 seconds left, it's 31-27, and FSU is within striking distance.
Yep.
And it's on Auburn! Pass interference. Here's a first down.
It's now at the 2-yard line. So, things are now going to get really interesting there. But we'll get back to the game here in a second. As we move on to our next match up, Big E Langston takes on Curtis Axel in a non-title contest.
Stop putting Ryback on the mic. Please stop putting Ryback on the mic. For the love of God, would somebody please stop giving Ryback a microphone and touchdown FSU! With 13 seconds to go! Auburn just lost.
Everyone ruled them out an hour and a half ago. Everyone was like, so who's winning in The Bachelor?
That was a beautiful catch. Oh my God.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, anything can happen. Well, as we've seen all weekend, comebacks happen. And here was a big one.
Auburn just pulled a Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had this game won.
They Romo'd this one up.
Oh, and there's a flag on the kick.
False start, yeah.
So they're going to get moved back.
Anyway, back to Raw. Langston won. Ryback, basically, Cole noted that Ryback hasn't won a singles title like Langston has, and Ryback was like, you know, Ryback basically said, I've only been in the business 21 months. Well, how long has Big E been there? Just pointing that one out. Big E's dominant. Hey, Kinkins, it's a thing. Read Twitter. It's a thing.
It is. Romoing is a thing.
It's been all weekend long. It's a thing. I didn't start it. It's been started by everyone else. Just playing along with it. Anywho, this point in time, we come back from break, and it is time for the Piper's Pit. So we had Roddy Piper come out, about to talk, and, well, out came the Shield. Dean Ambrose basically said, who gave this man a lie, Mike? Ambrose said they weren't going to stand around listening to Piper ramble about all and about nothing. Piper then basically responded, took the mic and said, this is Piper's Pit, not Ambrose's alley, which was kind of awesome. They've already given Ambrose a segment when, well, he goes on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Piper said he admits he has been beat up and fought some guys. He said things don't quite work the same physically, but his brain never fails. Piper said the only other person, well, at this point, only other person who can match him on the mic is, well,
things don't work quite like they used to, except for my mind is fine. And there's only one guy that can match me on the microphone. And his name is CM Punk.
Piper is taunting Ambrose here.
I think you, of all people, would know to tread lightly in a situation
Piper. Hey, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Can I call you Hot Rod? Look.
Sure.
I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but my friend, it's not 1985 anymore. The Shield is too smart for your little tactics, all right? There are no cracks in the Shield. You know what I think it is? I think it's jealousy, all right? Piper is jealous because you are a better U.S. champion than he ever was.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely it. That's definitely a big part of it. Well, let's just hang on a second. You may be right. I know something for sure. You, one-on-one, can't beat Punk. You, one-on-one, you couldn't beat Punk either. Is it bothering you? You, you're fighting Punk tonight. Now, let me just ask, if you beat Punk tonight, doesn't that make you better than them? Would that be like a crack in the Shield? Just a second, big guy. Are they holding you back?
Don't listen to a word he's saying.
Crack. Crack in the Shield, huh?
No cracks in the Shield, Piper. That's the word he's saying.
I'm going to beat CM Punk tonight. And if you ever touch me again, I'm going to break your old ass in half.
Hey, Roman,
Let's leave a memorable impression on Mr. Piper right now.
Mr. Piper!
And here comes CM Punk! CM Punk, ladies and gentlemen, look at the toe! The New Age Outlaws! Billy Gunn, the Road Dog!
You better call somebody!
Punk brought backup! And the New Age Outlaws and CM Punk taking it to the Shield!
Look at the Road Dog in you!
Road Dog, Jesse James!
Dog pound!
B.A. Billy Gunn! The New Age Outlaws, CM Punk, Ronnie Piper, started to call!
This is old school Raw! Oh, you didn't know? And the Shield regrouping in retreat. I told you Piper's pit is controversial.
We knew it would be.
And then Ronnie Piper, well, did he strike a chord, John?
So Piper stirs the pot in Piper's pit, and fantastic mic work between Dean and
Seth.
Piper, Seth, and Piper.
And Roman. I mean, Roman all three of them were good. Can we just, like, before we get to the mic work, can we talk about Seth's smile through the entire damn thing? Like, literally, he sat down, and he's watching Dean and Piper as they're starting this thing, and he's just sitting there smiling like an idiot. Because he's like, oh my god, I'm in the ring with Piper.
Yep.
And you know Dean was doing the same thing on the inside. There's actually a moment where they caught Dean smiling before he started in with Piper. It's just like, holy crap. Because Dean's, I think, a big Roddy Piper fan.
Yeah, he is.
So, yeah, I can imagine Dean. I would have loved to have seen Dean's face when they told him, yeah, we're going to let you work with Piper tonight.
Yep.
Life made right there for him, probably.
Pretty much. So we were talking earlier today how awesome this segment would be. And it lived up to what we talked about. And then some.
Oh. Dude, when we heard that it was going to be the Shield and Piper, it's like, okay, that means Punk will show up.
Which we both thought about and typed the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, it was terrifying. We can finish each other's sentences without even ever saying a sentence. But just putting that out. But
Hashtag true story.
Hashtag, that's not the first time that happened tonight either.
No.
It happened at least two or three more times after that. But it's something that we knew this was going to be good because it's, you've got three guys, you've got the Shield, who they can all work the mic. Roman is probably the weakest on the mic out of the three, but he's gotten better.
Yes, he has.
And then you've got Piper. And Piper is Piper. And if Piper is on, which tonight, Piper was on.
Yep.
Like, that's the one caveat, is it's, you worry is, you know, is Piper going to be on or is he going to be kind of eh? Because the last time we saw Piper, he was just kind of okay.
It depends who they put him in the ring with. He's had his hits, and he's had his misses.
Yeah, and it's like when Piper walked out there and he had that glint in his eye, it's like, you knew, this is gonna get good.
Right. Now, we should say, Kane Kittens brings up B.A. Billy Gunn. Well, it was early in the show. The word ass got dropped later in the show, but we'll get to that later. Now,
yes.
Lily brings up what you brought up earlier, which will be a gif at some point, the cheek pinch.
Oh, yeah. The cheek pinch. Yeah, that was hilarious. Also, Piper looking at Seth and going, you're cute.
Cute.
Which, you know, Seth was like, oh my god, he called me cute. It's like, all you hear is, like, the moment in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer where he freaks out where the chick calls him cute. But yeah, it's like the cheek pinch. Oh god, the cheek pinch. That was amazing. And Roman's like, I'm so done with you.
Don't ever touch me again.
Don't ever touch me again. And on the inside, he's going, I've just got my cheek pinched by Rowdy Roddy Piper. Win. Yep. Like, you know they all three.
That was a moment that they a year ago, they probably thought, that'll never happen. We'll never be on Piper's Pit.
Think about this. Almost a year ago, in a couple months, they took out Taker. So they've gone from taking out Taker to being on Piper's Pit. That's pretty good. And think of everything they've done in between.
Yep. Lily, I scream. Lindsay, I'm still screaming. It was a hell of a reaction. It really, really, really was. That was a fun segment. That was really that was one of the highlights of this show.
I agree, 100%. Well done. I want more of it.
Alberto Del Rio, Sin Cara. I don't think you want more of that. Sin Cara lost to Del Rio this time. Nothing too out of the ordinary between those two. It's the first time in a long time it's happened. It's been 3 weeks. The feud continues.
Well, it's been weird because we haven't seen Del Rio because obviously he got his concussion. And then he's kind of been on TV, but he hasn't since the feud with Cena ended. So it's just like, oh, hey, look, it's Del Rio.
Right. So Del Rio wins with the armbar. And then after the match, basically said he should be the man for the Royal Rumble. I said, everyone's talking about Batista. Del Rio vowed to throw Batista that paro over the top rope. Then everyone will be talking about the Royal Rumble match winner, Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, no, honey. No.
He's won it once before.
He's won it once before, but given who's going to be in this Rumble, Del Rio doesn't stand a chance. I'm sorry.
Then we went backstage to the Wyatts. Daniel Bryan was, well, addressing Harper and Rowan. Bryan told him that he joined the Wyatts to learn how to be transformed into a monster, but he also joined them to teach. He's a teacher now. He's been a tag team champion with Kane, who's now the libertarian version. Unlike them, then, well, they weren't happy about them. And told them that they will team with either Rowan or Harper next week. That won't be necessary, Daniel. You'll be teaming with Bray Wyatt next week.
Shit just got real, y'all. Bray's getting in the ring.
We went over this history last night. Bray doesn't get in the ring often. But when it does, it matters.
It's a big deal. Now, kind of some things to note. Harper looked ready to take Daniel's face off
throughout the entire
segment. Like, there was a point where Harper literally tilted his head and you see nothing but beard and hair and that icy-ass glare he's got. And it's like, Daniel, honey, he's gonna kill you. Just stop. And then it's like Rowan was ready to just kill Daniel. Harper's trying to hold Rowan back, not really. Because I have a funny feeling Harper would have actually let go at some point.
Right.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure if Bray Wyatt had not been there, we wouldn't see Daniel Bryan ever again. Just, you know, pointing that out. Now, before I go into this, do you have anything to say? Because I kind of have a rant.
Go.
Okay, well, I didn't want to cut you off.
Hey, you think like I think, so just roll with it.
This confused me, and I think part of it is that Daniel doesn't quite get it. I've had some time to think about it after seeing it, and I think it's something of Daniel Bryan has willingly joined the Wyatts. They haven't forced him in, but at the same time, he hasn't been with them long enough really for Bray's ideology to really take hold. And they didn't ever really mentally break him. It's just something of, it's Daniel Bryan is the same Daniel Bryan. He's just in a jumpsuit and he's with the Wyatts. And what he doesn't understand is the family structure. Is Bray's the leader. Luke is the sergeant at arms, so to speak. And then Rowan is the soldier. And now Daniel Bryan has joined the family. And there's a little bit of dissension in the family as far as what Daniel Bryan's place is. Presumably because he's a newbie, he would fall under Rowan.
Right.
Because Luke is Bray's right-hand man, but Brian is receiving a lot of special attention from Bray, which Luke doesn't like.
Right.
So I think it's something of Luke believes that Brian should be in a different place than maybe Brian is in, but at the same time, I almost get this feeling from Brian that it's like he went with the Wyatts, he joined the Wyatts, he put on the jumpsuit, and it's almost like he thinks they're going to let him go. Like, I joined you, and at some point, I'm going to get to go back to my old life.
He's learning from them to be a monster and figures, once I learn how to be a monster, I will be able to go on my own. But he's going to learn that once you're part of the family, you never leave the family.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's kind of what I'm waiting to see at this point, is that's probably the story. Because originally what I thought and kind of what I wanted to see was what they were running on the house shows, which is Daniel Bryan basically kind of being forced into line.
And I think with the tag match next week, Bray is going to start teaching some lessons.
Yeah, Bray is going to knock Bryan in the line, and basically Bryan doesn't give the orders. Bray gives the orders.
Bray is the head in charge.
Yeah, it's something of, you're not teaching anything, you're here to learn. Now get in line.
Get in line, son.
So yeah, this could get interesting. I did like the dissension between Luke and Brian. I like the tension there, and I think the story that they might be building to is something of Brian believes that at some point when he's mastered whatever they want him to master, that he's going to be able to move on with his life and, you know, move on with Brie Bella and that kind of thing. And that's, I think, where that the feud with the Wyatts is going to continue, is they're not going to let him go. Bray's got him now. You're not going anywhere. It's like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think, I told Rock, it's like, I don't think Brian realizes what he's done.
No, he doesn't.
He has, kind of.
But he really doesn't. He thinks what he might know. He thinks he's not under their will just yet, but he will be at some point.
Yes, and once again, thank you for getting Brian a proper jumpsuit and cutting the fringe off. I was so scared he's going to walk out with that fringe.
She wanted to cut it off yesterday and the day before.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, we referenced it earlier, where over the weekend Brian was working the house shows and he was in a jumpsuit, and I swear to God, like I said earlier, it was probably one of Rowan's old ones that they modified as best they could for him.
It's on Facebook.com/WWE. Scroll down their feed and you'll be able to see what we're talking about.
Yes, it has fringe and beads, and it's like, oh my God, no. No, 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 no. No, he should not have fringe.
The beads were like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's like, he's a cross between he's like a hippie mechanic? I don't know.
Jamaican, whatever. Anyway. And he, who will move on from the Wyatts now. Up next, Cody Rhodes and Goldust took on the Real Americans.
And a really good match.
Really good match. It picked up after the break, and the finish was really, really nice. Lots of near falls. It looked really good. And the Rhodes family picked up the win.
They did. So they continue to show strong. How strong they'll be in the new year, we don't know. Because, well, they seem to not be as dominant as they once were. So they might be wearing down just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Our next segment, I'm not even going to recap it fully. We'll just go like this. DDP Shield lifted his leg up over his head. Booker tried. Booker's old. And, well,
stale.
Yeah. That's kind of how it rolled. It's really just... Well, we were sitting here the whole night going, okay, where's the DDP yoga show? Where is it? There it is! And bingo.
There it is. And since we have, it's a shilling moment, go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for The Rock. Wrestle Talk Radio for Show of the Year and all the awards for The Rock. Once again, at WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote once a day.
Yes, please. Please do.
Tell your friends once a day. WrestlingRadioAwards.com. That being said, up next, Damian Sandow versus the Great Khali with Rajing Singh.
I was so happy to see Rajan back. Like, I popped. For those of you that don't know, I had a little bit of a crush on Rajan Singh. I still do. So I was really excited to see him back. Because he's so cute.
Right.
Sorry. I just made everybody uncomfortable. Sorry.
So they had a match. Oh, by the way, Sergeant Slaughter won the app poll with 55% of the vote. I was surprised he won. I honestly was. I thought Backlund was going to win.
You see, that's the thing. I don't think Backlund is as popular as everybody thinks he is.
I didn't think Slaughter was, though. With the way he's been treated lately. I didn't think... I voted for Arn Anderson.
Yeah, it's like something of, oh my god, it's Arn!
Right? And I was watching it on the app. He cut a fantastic promo on why it should have been the ref. That promo should have been on TV. It was fantastic.
It's Arn. How could it not be?
He's
fantastic.
Always been good on the mic, especially when he knows what he's talking about. So, Sergeant Slaughter, bald head and all, special guest referee in the bow tie. Old school bow tie. Khali won. Though there were shenanigans where, well, so Sandow had his foot on his rope at one, and the referee didn't see it. Sandow was unhappy. Well, goes after Slaughter, and then gets Cobra clutched by Sergeant Slaughter. So there you go. That was that.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Sandow was very good. Very well done.
I like the interaction between the two. Well done. So, up next, we had the next... Well, I can't say that. Go old school. The next big thing, Brock Lesnar. He came out with a brand new t-shirt.
He did. With
Paul Heyman. Heyman said Lesnar wants to express his dismay over the public misconception of the term old school, according to Lesnar. Old school does not mean charging out these legends and giving them a last hurrah. According to his client, old school is one man when one man reigns supreme and every single person in the locker room comes out and challenges that one man, that one champion. He talked about Bruno Sammartino as a reigning supreme champion, everyone wanting the piece of Bruno. Then the name Hulk Hogan was brought up to the same comment. He was a reigning and defending champion, everyone wanted a piece of Hulk Hogan. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin was named. And Heyman paused and said, "We're not trying to seek your approval of the names I'm dropping. Just wanted to point that one out."
We're going to mark whether you want us to or not, Heyman. Just get over it.
Heyman said at this time, one man reigns supreme, and after the Royal Rumble, whether that man is John Cena or Randy Orton, you might as well put an expiration stamp on the title reign, because after the Rumble, the champion will have a target on his back. Because Brock Lesnar is coming after him. Heyman said that this is where facts are more interesting than the hype. Heyman said no one in WWE, MMA, or pro sports can compare to Lesnar's ability to reign supreme. Last week, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, took up Lesnar on his challenge, and Lesnar laid him out. But they know that it doesn't matter who comes down that aisle, because anyone who challenges Lesnar will end up a loser, because his client Brock Lesnar's life is just like a t-shirt. Brand new one available at WWEShop.com. Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. Out came Mark Henry. Injured ribs and shoulder and all, limped to the ring, and tried to fight Brock Lesnar. They got in a scrummage, and the Kimura lock was locked in, and then what is going to be the internet meme of 2014 is the Lesnar face when he broke the arm of Mark Henry.
Oh my god.
Last week
I've already seen it. They've already been comparing that face to the baby picture.
Yeah. Last year, end of the year, we had the Lesnar scream. Now we have the Lesnar face.
They're going to match the scream with the face. It's coming.
Yeah, it is definitely coming. That is for damn sure. So, according to WWE.com, he dislocated and fractured the elbow, not broke the arm. So it was the elbow. Anyway, so he got it done. Laid him out. Allen goes. Brock leaves. Out came the Big Show. And he slowly walked to the ring. Slowly walked towards Lesnar. Lesnar backed up the entire time. Lesnar got into the ring. Big Show gets in the ring. Lesnar bails. Heyman was talking down his client. And then Heyman ran off and just started to distract Big Show. Lesnar got in the ring. Show cut him off and just basically chucked him straight across the goddamn ring.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive. He literally threw Brock Lesnar like a football.
So yeah, Big Show stood in the ring. Lesnar limped away. Nice segment. It was hyped more of a devastating thing, and I guess breaking an arm is devastating in a way. But a little let down. But Big Show, Brock, okay. I can see a confrontation coming.
I can see a confrontation coming. Well, it's something of. It's not necessarily that he broke the arm. It's the fact that he manhandled Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Who is not a small man, who is not a weak man by any means. And for Brock Lesnar to grab him, to do what he did to him last week, and then to pull him down, put him in the Kimura lock, and then just break his arm like it's nothing, is, again, very impressive.
Oh, it is. Oh, most certainly it is.
And it's something of, you know, good God, if Mark Henry can't stop Brock Lesnar, then who can? And that's where Big Show comes in. It's something of, Big Show is I've never been able to figure out, there's always been a debate, at least in my head, between Colleen and Big Show, but at least in my head, Big Show is at least the biggest and the baddest.
He's the world's largest athlete.
Yeah, it's like, he's huge in comparison to Lesnar, and it's something of, you know, if anybody can stop Brock Lesnar, it's the Big Show. And if the Big Show can't do it, we are all screwed.
Because if the Big Show can't do it, then, well...
Dude, if the Big Show can't do it, then Taker is screwed. Because Taker can't do it. We all know Taker's physical condition. As much as I love my dead man, yeah, I know Taker. He will get... I've said it before, I said it again. If those two meet in the ring, Brock will literally rip Taker's bad arm off and beat him over the head with it.
Yeah. So, there's that. Up next, Oksana and Alicia Fox take on the Bella Twins. Oksana gets the win over Brie Bella after Brie Bella went, Brie mode! And missed the dropkick. Oops.
I have another rant.
Go ahead.
I wanted to see her a little bit more off her game. I wanted to see her be a little bit more concerned and worried. I wanted to see more of that tonight. And maybe we'll get that as the story for the Wyatts progresses. But it's like, I'm expecting Brie Bella to play a big part in the Daniel Bryan storyline.
There apparently was a promo on the app.
Yeah, there were pictures on the app, and I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find it on the app of Brie Bella, you know, talking about Daniel Bryan, and it's something of, you shouldn't be doing that stuff on the app, you should be bringing that to TV. And I understand that tonight was old school Raw. See, that's the problem, like, tonight was a really awkward night to just start all this. Because it's old school Raw, so it's not going to get the attention that it should.
Right.
And it's something of, I almost wish they had waited a week.
you slowly started this week, and then you move on from there.
Right, but the match was fine. Oksana needs to work on her knees because they're weak. And they need to change her music.
Yeah, that's terrible, terrible music.
If you're going to be pushing Oksana, you need to give her better music than the porn music. I'm sorry.
2 weeks in a row, she wins all Monday Night Raw.
Against Abella.
Lost to Nikki on SmackDown. So maybe she'll lose to Brie on SmackDown. Maybe they're setting up a feud somehow there. So, at this point then, it got really interesting because, well, we decided to, well, turn it up. Turn it up! That was interesting. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we had the return of Scotty Too Hotty, Grandmaster Sexay, and
Rikishi,
as they were in six-man tag team action against the three-man band, baby.
Always great to see Too Cool. Always great to see Rikishi. Scotty looked really good.
Scotty Too Hotty was in shape, without question. He was. Yeah. We got to see the WORM, the worm, which actually delighted the crowd.
Yeah, it's funny. They didn't really get a pop when they came out, but when Scotty hit the worm, he got them excited.
Well, whenever you see a worm, most people get excited.
They should have had Nikki and Scotty do a worm off.
Do you really want... Well, I'm not even going to go there. My brain went the total opposite direction of where...
Yes, I know it did. Just keep going.
Where it should have went. Because, you don't bring things up and then expect me not to go there. Just point that one out.
Anyway, continue.
So they got to... showed around, that sort of thing. So they got to do their dance. They got to do their old... Rikishi had a... You could tell Rikishi came to the show. Oh, I'm wrestling? Okay. He didn't look like a man who was thinking he was going to wrestle tonight. Just pointing that one out. So they got...
Rikishi... Yeah.
He was not in, shape. Rikishi's never been really in shape. So Scotty Too Hotty, so Grandmaster Sexay, Scotty Too Hotty, Rikishi pick up the win.
Now, to be fair, Rikishi used to be able to go.
Oh yeah. I didn't say he couldn't go. I just said he was never in, well. Round is a shape. Anyway,
round is a shape. Rikishi used to be a lot smaller than what he is now.
Yes, this is very, very true.
I mean, and it was.
We should point out, Jimmy and Jay, that's your future.
No, I have a really funny feeling that's not going to be their future, because Rikishi's always been big.
No, he started small.
Then one of them's going to fight it. I just have this hunch. One of them's
got to fight it, but he was 270, 280 when he started. And then ballooned. So anyway, yeah. Anything else you want to add to that match?
It's always, like I said, it's always great to see Too Cool. It takes you back. It was a little bit sad because Grandmaster Sexay can't go like he used to. Rikishi can't go like he used to. Rikishi seeing Rikishi, and I hate saying this, was actually a little sad because it was like, oh.
Anyway. So, we then had we should make that mention because we're going to be talking about this Thursday because we've been kind of hitting and dropping the hints for a couple weeks on the rack of what we're going to be talking about this coming week. But WWE has a big groundbreaking announcement this Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, which you can watch on YouTube, WWE.com, and the app, and Facebook, and all that fun stuff. A groundbreaking announcement featuring the likes of John Cena, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Did I say Steve Austin? And Steve Austin. So yeah, they're all going to be there. The network is going to be announced.
Yeah, this is going to be big, whatever it is. So, it's going to be big.
So you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as we'll be covering it as it happens, and we will talk all about it on the Rack Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. That being
yes.
said, we now bring out all the legends. But they were not alone, because the legends, the legends, ladies and gentlemen, they, well, were brought out by...
Come get on the train.
That's right, the Godfather was in the house.
Pimpin' ain't easy, yo.
Pimpin',
and he hates me.
Pimpin' ain't easy, yo. So we had the Godfather and Ric Flair dancing. Ric Flair was like, oh, Godfather's here. This is going to be amazing. So Ric Flair, DDP, Nikolai Volkoff, Arn Anderson, IRS, Booker T, Ron Simmons, Sergeant Slaughter, Too Cool, Rikishi, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Bob Backlund, and Roddy Piper are all brought out. The hoes, well, they were just old men, the hoes tonight. But Lindsay, I got some bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please? What a momentous occasion! Look at all these legends gathered here for Old School Raw. Well, it should be a momentous occasion, but I'm afraid I've got some bad news. You see, flea markets across the entire US were driven to a frenzy today by virtue of the fact that none of this lot were available to sign 25-year-old photos of themselves and shake hands with the seven or so people who have any clue who they are? Mark my words, gentlemen. These pathetic attempts to rekindle your glory years will prove futile. And your futures... they are doomed to anonymity. In fact, I will personally take great pleasure in forgetting each and every one of your names the second you walk out of the arena this evening. And the only thing that's better than that is the knowledge that all of the WWE Universe will forget your names too. So welcome back, legends!
That's some bad news, Barrett.
I love how the legends were all yelling at them, and some of them were looking up at him, all confused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he up there?
Why is he...
Like, some of them were genuinely confused.
Who is it? Who's that guy? Who's that guy up there? Can someone explain this to me, please?
What's going on?
Right? So, we then things got interesting. Friday night it'll be Randy Orton versus Big E Langston, and next week on Raw it'll be the Usos versus Bray and Daniel Bryan. Then, like I said, things got interesting from here, because out came Mean Gene Okerlund. Okerlund said it was great to be back in Baltimore. He said he has lots of stories about Baltimore, but he just says, well, can't say them and he doesn't have any the time to do so. So you can call the hotline. Okerlund said it's only $5.99 per minute, and kids, well, you don't need your parents' permission to call. Great. That was fantastic. Not gonna
lie. What was even better was, like, the few people that popped for it. He's like, some people remember it. Alright!
Some people actually remember the hotline. Then out came the road dog Jesse James and the badass Billy Gunn, and basically they told Gene, don't bring up the time with the animals.
The New Age Outlaws were part of the Wyatts?
Don't bring up the clowns and the farm animals here in Baltimore.
That didn't happen.
Don't talk about it. And then we had the old school New Age Outlaws introduction, Road Dogg, and Billy Gunn. They actually said, Mean Gene called him Badass Billy Gunn, and well, Road Dogg also called him Badass Billy Gunn, and Billy Gunn actually got to talk.
Yay!
And then they got two words for you. Then Road Dogg brought out CM Punk, did a special introduction, and the only line I can remember off the top of my head, because I quoted it down, because no one else, I've looked at like four recaps, and no one actually quoted the introduction. CM Punk will drop pipe bombs on your moms.
It was a fantastic introduction. They need to do that for him every week. Seriously, it was so well done. But it's Pro Dog Jesse James. The dude can talk all day long.
Oh,
I mean, my God.
I know this. I'm just saying. He said CM Punk will drop pipe bombs on your moms. That's not PG, Road Dogg.
It's after 10. It's fine.
I know. Anywho. That said there, we had our introductions for the main event, CM Punk, in his nice spiffy jacket.
Ribera!
The Ribera Steakhouse jacket he was wearing. Because they're well live in Japan tonight for the first time ever. Out came the Shield, so we had Roman Reigns with Dean and Seth against CM Punk, who had the New Age Outlaws in his corner. Good match. It slow to start. It built up. The finish was really good. This is like Reigns' really first opportunity. You could tell it's not him yet. He still needs to get his legs underneath him to go on his own for that long. But the finish was really good.
Oh, the finish was fantastic, but yeah, I would agree. You can tell Roman is not ready to go out on his own just yet. He doesn't have the singles experience that Seth and Dean do.
And he needs to still improve on his moveset. He hit the Superman punch, got a close near fall. Reigns went for a spear, Punk got out of the way of it. And in a turnbuckle, Punk tried to roll Reigns, got a kick out. Reigns called basically for Ambrose. Ambrose got up an apron, got knocked down. And then Roman hit the spear for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, this was a really nice finish. But, well, things weren't quite done.
No, they weren't.
You gotta be kidding me! Are you kidding me? I've seen a ghost, and John, that's Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
We're going old school.
And here come the Outlaws! It's CM Punk!
Airplane spin into a GTS.
Oh,
laying out Dean Ambrose.
Hop in there, Jake the Snake Roberts, the
So Jake grabs his bag. Dean is out cold. Jake stands over him with a snake. And what again will become a thing is Dean Ambrose smiling like a schoolgirl as the snake was, Jake's snake was on his face.
And you know he was marking out. Like, he did okay hiding it from with Piper. Like, he did a pretty good job with Piper. He just lay there smiling like an idiot. Because it's like, you know it's what's going through his head. Oh my god, I'm in the ring with Jake the Snake Roberts. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, he's going to put a snake on me. Oh my god, oh my god. He was like fanboying out. It was adorable.
Uh-huh. And then Jake teased the rest of them with the snake. So yeah, that was the surprise of the night. Jake the Snake Roberts got his one shining moment once again. The comeback is complete. He got to appear on Monday Night Raw.
Jake for the Rumble. That's all I'm saying.
I think we had a moment with Jake. That's just me.
And that's just you?
That's just me. I think that was the moment. I don't think we... He doesn't look like he's in ring shape. He doesn't need to be going out there and trying to wrestle.
That being said, he still looked really good.
He looked healthy. He looked healthy. That's
you can definitely tell that DDP's influence and the DDP yoga has really, really, really helped him quite a bit. He looked good. He looked aware of what was going on. He wasn't out of it at all. It was classic Jake, which was amazing. And the crowd just blew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. So yeah, that was a nice surprise to end the night. It was an interesting 3 hours. Some good, some bad, but it was fun.
It was fun, and I will admit that. It was a very entertaining show because they really got the maximum number of legends that they could in the show. They spaced them out nicely. We got to see some old faces that we're used to seeing. We got a surprise, you know, and it was nice, but it's something of, you know, I think they kind of sort of lost the night because it was old school Raw was primarily dedicated to the legends, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's something of, you know, not some of the major storylines did get pushed a little bit. They at least got touched on, but I think the storylines got sacrificed for the gimmick.
They got pushed aside, except for the Shield story. Tonight was the last week was the Wyatt story. This week was the Shield story.
Right. So, and again, we see Ambrose getting more and more and more crazy every week. We're starting to see. If you're not familiar with Ambrose's indie gimmick of Jon Moxley, go look it up on YouTube. That's pretty much what he's doing, and that's what he's going into. So they're starting to have Dean, or Dean at least, is starting to do that crazy gimmick, and that's probably the gimmick he's going to go with once he splits.
He's developing what they call a personality.
Yeah, it's something of Dean has held it together for a year, and now he's starting to lose his mind. So it's something of, can they pull Dean back into reality, or are they going to have to cut Dean loose because he's now a liability? Like, there's going to be a point where Dean's crazy eventually costs them too much.
Right. But that's 3 hours of WWE Old School Raw. Entertaining show, I will say that.
Oh, incredibly entertaining.
But with that being said, this has been another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, Lindsay. It's The Rack.
It is. Join us as we talk all about this week's exciting impact and, well, what is WWE's big announcement? hint, hint, is probably the network. But we're going to be talking all about that, and plus, well, probably some Wyatt's, question of the night, and, well, some other stuff. But you know what? Speaking of the RAC and speaking of other stuff, go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for RAC for the Show of the Year, and also for Male Interview of the Year, and Media Interview of the Year, and Female Interview of the Year. We are nominated in multiple categories with multiple nominations. We received 8 this year, which we're very proud of, so thank you so much to anybody that nominated us and to anybody that voted for us. And continue to vote. You can vote once a day. That's WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's the weird, it's the wacky, it's the unusual. It's CB Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is WTR Sunday night with Omega and Maze, myself, and maybe Spunk, we'll see. Who knows? We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Royal Push live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Buy the official Rack Radio Show t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. Feel so kindly, donate into the tip jar, or the donate button, whatever we call it now, on WildTalkRadio.com whenever you want to, because that'll be kind of awesome. And that's all I got.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. If you like my artwork and you want to buy it, under the Contact Us section of my website is a link to my Redbubble store. I have pieces available for sale there. You can get t-shirts, you can get posters, you can get cards. You can pretty much whatever Redbubble offers. It's up to you, whatever you want. Once again, Redbubble.com and PsychWardDesigns.com. Go check that out. Also, visit CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And, of course, visit RackRadioShow.com. And, once again, go to the WrestlingRadioAwards.com to vote for our show.
Pretty much that nails it on the head right there, thanks to PWMania.com. Thanks to MemLanePromo.com. This has been another edition of the Raw Pro Show. We went old school tonight with the music, old themes of Monday Night Raw. So for, once again, the cowboy chick herself, Lindsay Ward, I am Sir Rockin'. We'll see you next Monday night and all week long across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network and across the nation on WildTalkRadio.com. Good night, everybody.
Wild Talk Radio.com.